Bibles this morning to 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter number 3. I have been thoroughly enjoying studying again 1 John. It's been my favorite book of the Bible since I was saved. It was so helpful to me as a new Christian, and I probably spent more time studying this book for two reasons. One is because it helped me with my assurance of salvation. Another one, because it's a short book. And I've probably spent more time studying this book than any other book, but every time I go through it, I get so much more. You never there are handouts there. I forgot to mention that. We do have handouts on the back table. Everything's kind of switched, so you don't know where things are anymore, but if you need a handout, Jacob's got some. 1 John chapter number 3, and we're going to look this morning at verse number 10 through 15. Read along with me, if you will, or follow along, if you will, in your Bible. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that ye should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And whosoever, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous? Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Ye know what ye have passed, that ye have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Father, pray that you bless your word now, and Lord, use it to work in each of our hearts and lives. May we gain a better understanding of our relationship with you through this study this morning, in Jesus' name, amen. Let me mention quickly that this book is all about having right fellowship, a right relationship or fellowship with God. As we said back in 1 John chapter 1, verse 16, I know a lot of people think of the book of 1 John, well, it's all about knowing that you're saved, but no, it's about how to have a right relationship with God, how to have right fellowship with God. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have what? Fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. The book is all about having a right relationship or proper fellowship with God. Now, I want to make mention of this. In fact, I could ask you a question. In verse number 10, says the children identifies the children of the devil and the children of God. Which one are you? Are you a child of the devil or are you a child of God? The right answer is I'm both. These verses are given for self-examination, not for judging other people. Well, that person, I think they're a child of the devil. I pointed over towards Todd. He's always so fun. He is a child of the devil, right, Mom? And the one right behind you is too. They're not given to identify others, but it's to tell us something about ourselves. We're not talking about identifying what team I'm on or what team somebody else is on. Jesus, by the way, desires us and showed us how we're to love even our enemies. We're talking about teams, but now the context of these verses is on our, as we look at previous studies and the rest of this book, the context is our two natures. And how they relate to God and ourselves and others. This morning, as I was reading the Psalms of Degrees, Psalm 120, there's a couple of verses that stuck. In fact, I thought of them earlier before I even read them this morning. I thought of them the other day because I've been reading them and familiar with them. Psalm 120 in verse number 6 and 7 says, "My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. I am for peace. But when I speak, they are for war. Let me tell you the way most of us read this and the way I've always read this. Well, I'm for peace, but they're wanting to fight. But I'm not going to fight. In reality, when we look at those verses, my soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. My soul lives in my flesh. My flesh hateth peace. My flesh is the enemy of God. And my soul lives inside of that enemy of God. And that's exactly what John is dealing with here. He that doeth, right again in verse number 10, the children of God are manifest, they're revealed, the children and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. My flesh doesn't do the right thing. But God's Spirit does, and that's what we're talking about, the Spirit of God, the seed of God's righteousness in me, the Holy Spirit. And neither he that loveth not his brother. Now here's two things here, in fact, that phrase there, that doeth not righteousness. I think we're going to come back to that this evening. And loveth not his brother is the focus I want to look at today. And the message today is simply love and hate. Love and hate. And I'm going to say, first of all, biblically, now not in our minds, but biblically, we can't understand this, but biblically, there is no middle ground between love and hate. There's no middle ground. Just like in reality, there's no middle ground between right and wrong. But in our mind, there's a big gap there. But biblically, it's either right or it's wrong. And the more we get in the Bible and the closer we get to God, the smaller that becomes even our own understanding. Now, if you can picture two very large kingdoms, the size or nations, maybe the size of the United States or all of North America and then all of South America, two great continents, two very large nations. We'll call one of them the nation of love and the other one the nation of hate. They're two separate kingdoms. However, these two kingdoms are separated by just a line that's on a map. You know, when I fly in an airplane, I always got to have a window seat because I want to look down. I'll try to figure out where. I wish that they would tell you where they are because I want to see what city I'm over, what rivers, and trying to figure out what state I'm over and all this stuff. And to much to my surprise, there's no lines that separate the states when you're up in the sky. It's not there. If you see these two nations, love and hate, the only thing separating them is a line. That line's completely invisible to me while I travel this life. I'm not sure when I'm walking, when we were kids, again, I keep thinking of things that I'm going to add more time to my message than what I have, but you don't mind, this is Mother's Day. When we were kids, we used to go way up in northern Canada, as far as the road goes, but the road that we were on is just really a dirt gravel road for 200 miles, and it was sometimes in Saskatchewan, sometimes in Manitoba. You didn't know where you were. There, on the map, there was a line, but we didn't know what side of that line we're on while we're going through this life. And here's two separate providences, or states, we would call them, you don't know which one you're in. And these two nations are love and hate. We don't know where we're at most of the time. The only way I can tell which kingdom I'm in is to very carefully study that map. And by the way, this is the map. The only way I can tell which nation I'm in, love or hate, is by studying the map. I can't tell by looking where the sun is. I can't tell by the moon or the stars. I'm not smart enough to figure that out. Of course, if I knew how to read those, I could read them like a map. Now, Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. You're familiar with that verse. For either he will hate the one and what? You're either going to hate or you're going to love. Or notice this, and then he says, or else you're going to hold or hang on to one and despise the other. If you're going to hold on to your flesh, you're going to despise the other one. If you're going to hold on to your spirit, you're going to despise the nation that you hold on to, the one that you hold on to, love or hate, you're going to despise the other one. Keep that in mind as we go through it. It's almost like you realize that there's no middle down. When it comes to salvation, you're either saved or lost, right? First John chapter 5, verse number 12 says, if you have the Son, you have life. If you have not the Son, you have not life. You're either in one or you're out of the other. There's no middle ground there. There's no purgatory. There's no... Now, my flesh says, well, I love someone, but I don't... But really... Well, I don't really love them, but I don't really hate them. It's one or the other. We say silly things like, I love them, I just don't like them. That's pretty foolish when you think about it. But if you start thinking about Bible terms, but in our mind, maybe that makes sense if we're living in the flesh. But these two strong words originate from polar opposites. They mix as well as oil and water do. Notice in verse number 1 through 3 of John chapter number 4. We're going to jump ahead to John chapter 4 for a little bit. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time here because we're going to eventually come to this in a few weeks. Letter A, the devil is hate. And that's what 1 John 4 verse 1 through 3. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world, whereby know we the Spirit of God, for the Spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. Now, I'm just going to read over that because I want to say some things there, but I'm not going to have time to do that right now. But just for the time being, the devil is hate. In verse number 3 of this, it talks about the spirit of Antichrist. That is the spirit of hate. In Luke chapter number 9, the reference I put there, James and John came to Jesus and said, hey, we saw some people doing this. Could we be like Elijah and call fire down from heaven? And Jesus' response was, in short, ye know not what spirit you're of. You don't realize, you think that you're operating under love, but you're operating in the kingdom of hate. And Jesus didn't come, he said, I didn't come to destroy life, I came to save lives. We don't know what spirit we're of, but when we have that spirit, that is the spirit of Antichrist that chapter 4 and verse number 3 talks about. And again, we'll come back to that. And also in chapter 4, I won't read all the verses in verse number 4 through 8 and verse number 15 through 17. Especially you see that God is what? Love. God is love. The devil is hate and God is love. The two cannot coexist. They can't live happily alongside of each other. We can't love and hate at the same time. And our flesh is filled with hate, but the God's Spirit is the kingdom of love. Now, secondly, our actions, or better, our reactions manifest or reveal to us if our soul is controlled by hate or love. This is important to get. Now, we're going to look at our text here in a little bit, but we can only... Now, we can sometimes put on a show. We can sometimes act like we love somebody, but our reactions will tell the story. Your reaction is something you don't think about. It's just something you naturally do. Now, again, when I talk about this, I know our natural tendency is, well, I know they don't love me because they do this. No, we're not talking about other people. We're talking about finding our own spirit. It's for self-examination. That's what this book is written for. How do we determine I have a right relationship with God? How do I know that I'm right with God? How do I know that I have eternal life? How do I know that I'm walking with God? Our reactions reveal... Let me tell you how this works. And I'll mention this. We looked at this verse already in chapter 2, and verse number 11 reminds us that hatred causes spiritual blindness in our soul. When we hate someone, as chapter 2 and verse number 11 tells us, that he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness. We're completely, when we're governed by the spirit of hate, we're completely in darkness. We don't see maybe what others see in us. We don't see where that hatred comes from. Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 12, let me give you the word that goes in there for letter A first. Oftentimes, God, in His goodness, puts us in a pressure cooker. You ever been in a pressure cooker? When things get pretty intense, you know how He does that? He does that, of course, to strengthen us. The devil wants to discourage us. But God does that so we'll see what's in our heart. Because when you squeeze something, what's inside of it comes out. God puts you under pressure sometimes to see, so you can see your reactions. You ever say, why? How did that? Where did that come from? How did I say that? God puts you in that situation. And again, these are for self-examination. In Matthew chapter number 12, Jesus said, and I'll just read the one statement there instead of the whole verse. I encourage you to look at the whole verse. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And Jesus was talking about what defiles a man is what comes, not what goes into his mouth, what comes out. What comes in out is what's in your heart. And he's talking about your words there. Specifically, if you read the context of that whole verse, you'll see that he's specifically talking about our words identify to us. I say things that, wow, I didn't know that was in my heart. God just had to put some pressure on me for it to come out, for me to see it. Now, the example given here in our text in 1 John chapter number 3 is of Cain and Abel. Notice in verse number 12, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. There's a lot in that verse right there. Let me just very quickly give you a few things in that verse. Cain was of that, what's the verse say? That wicked one. He illustrates for us the worship of the natural man without the new birth. This is our flesh. Cain, in other words, Cain was still in the flesh. All he knew was the flesh. By the way, as a Christian, I could either operate in the flesh or the spirit. But Cain had no choice because he was all in the flesh. He had no spirit of God dwelling. He was not saved. And it says that his works were what? Evil. His works were evil because he gave a sacrifice of his own plan, his own desire in making rather than what God desired. He gave the fruit of his hands and said, surely God will be acceptable, and therefore his works were evil. They're not acceptable in God's eyes. But Abel was what? Righteous. Not only right, but notice he says righteous. Righteous. That is, I've come to realize what a great word that is. He was righteous in that he offered the sacrifice of God's choosing. Remember what we said in the book of Romans, what righteousness is? God's plan or scheme of redemption. You see, one offered the sacrifice that he thought God would surely be pleased with this. That was all in the flesh. The other offered the sacrifice that, hey, this might not make sense to me, but this is what God wants me to offer. And that sacrifice included blood. And that was a part of God's plan or scheme of righteousness, for Abel was righteous. And then letter C, and my reactions manifest the soul, if our soul is controlled by hate or love, hatred comes from the God of this world. And verse number 13, and there's so many things I'd like to say here back in from the Gospel of John, but I'll just read the verses. In verse number 13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Ye know that ye have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath life in him. Hatred comes from the god of this world, the devil himself. The small g god. And the devil is the god of this world. That's where hatred comes from. And by the way, my flesh is filled with hatred. And my flesh, boy, sometimes we'll say, well, I want to know what you're thinking. Oh, you don't want to know what I'm thinking. If I'm thinking in the flesh, I guarantee you don't want to know what I'm thinking. That's what my flesh is. My heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. That's my natural man. And then letter D, hatred is embedded in the soul of all men. Now, some people say, well, I'm not like everybody else. I'm a loving person. No, you're not. You might think you are, but God says you're not. God says that my heart is filled with hatred. Remember how, first of all, remember how Jesus defined what murder is in Matthew 5? If we hate our brother, we're guilty of murder, or whosoever is, what's the word that goes in there? Angry with his brother. If I'm angry with my brother, and I like when some people quote that, if I'm angry with my brother without a cause, but I have cause to be angry. No, you don't. You have no cause ever to be angry with anyone. But I have righteous indignation. That's my anger. When you're angry, it's wrong. But when I'm angry, I have righteous indignation. No. I'm glad God doesn't reveal His anger to us. But we're saved. We're a child of God. And He's forgiven me of everything. And woe unto me if I can't forgive others, because I guarantee you ain't a person in this world could ever do to me what I did to God. And He has every right to be angry at me, but I have no right to be angry at Him or anyone else. We'll go on there. Where am I at? I'm down here. I'm trying to find my spot in my notes. Anger is embedded in my soul in Ephesians chapter number 2. And I'm finding so many parallels in Ephesians. I'm looking forward, when I get done with 1 John, whenever that's going to be, I'm going to go to Ephesians. I'll just read the one statement here. It talks about before our salvation, and it says that you were children of wrath, even as others. Not just children of the devil, but children of wrath, children of anger. That's who we are. That's where I was before I was saved. And by the way, I still have that sin nature in me. It's still there. Now, you say, well, how do I deal with that anger? Well, that's where walking in the Spirit comes in. I can walk in the flesh or I can walk in the Spirit. Well, I'm reading my Bible, but are you walking? I asked somebody yesterday, do you have a relationship with God? And their first response, and I just thought this was kind of funny because I want to correct them when they say this, but they corrected themselves before he even finished the statement. He said, well, I go to church. Wait a minute. That's not what you asked, is it? Because my next question is, that's not what I asked. Do you have a relationship with God? And a lot of Christians are that way. Are you walking in the flesh or in the Spirit? Well, I'm reading my Bible. Well, I'm praying. That's not what I asked. Are you walking in the Spirit? Have you learned to die to your flesh? And are you walking in the Spirit? Are you walking in the Spirit of love and not in the Spirit of hatred and anger? In verse number 11, in chapter number 3, verse 11 says, for this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. I guarantee you that Spirit of God in me loves even my enemies. But I guarantee you, my flesh don't love my enemies. yeah, bless your heart. I chop your liver out. But the Spirit of God loves even my enemies. What are the two greatest commandments? These are quotations from Deuteronomy. You read, they're not the same. They're each different. As Jesus quoted, I know he purposely changed things, but I'll just read the one in Luke chapter number 10, verse 26 through 29. I encourage you to study them and compare the difference between each time Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy chapter number 6 and chapter number 11. But Luke 11 says, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he went, and he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. That is the greatest commandment. This do, and thou shalt live. And he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, who is my neighbor? Well, you know, I love God, but I'm not sure who my neighbor is. And Jesus gave him in that gospel, the parable of the Good Samaritan. And you know that story, that great parable. Who is the greatest command is that I'm to love God with everything. And I'm going to love my neighbor. Galatians says, even esteem others better than myself. I can't do that. I've never even accomplished that trying to walk in the Spirit. I guarantee I can't do it in the flesh. I gave an illustration that I heard recently a few weeks ago. You're on your way home from work and you hear sirens. They sound like fire trucks. And you're on your way home to work and you realize those fire trucks are just a little ahead of you. They're going to the same neighborhood. You go, oh. And you're thinking to yourself as you drive, boy, I hope that's my house burning and not my neighbor's. Is that what you're thinking? I guarantee you're not thinking that. I'd rather my neighbor's house be burning than mine. Jesus said, or the Bible says, that I'll esteem others, what? Better than myself. Can I do that in the flesh? I'm not so sure I can even do it. I'm not spiritual enough to be able to do it in the Spirit. But that's what God... And the difference, do I live in the kingdom of love or the kingdom of hate? And then, let me just give you this. The greatest commandment, of first, of course, is to love the Lord. The second is to love others. And I'll say that it is impossible for me to keep either of these commandments without having a real relationship with Jesus Christ. Not just reading my Bible, not just praying, but having a real walk with Him where He's transforming my life. And we're going to come back to visit that thought this evening, but what is the love that God wants us to have? And by the way, this is the love that only God can give. We talk about Mother's Day. Well, nobody loves like a mother. God loves much more than a mother could ever love. In fact, there's not a person alive that could ever live up to this definition of love. A lot of foolish people think that they do. But I just put it there for you, the definition of love. We're not going to take time to go through it, but it'll transform your life if you spend time meditating on it and seeing what God's expectation is. Charity, and I like that word charity. I don't replace it with love on purpose. Suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. You never fall out of charity. You fall out of a fleshly love, but not a spiritual love. You never stop loving someone. The little phrase, I was actually studying this week, and my wife came home and told of an incident and said, God had to remind me of charity thinketh no evil. You know, somebody says something and you start thinking, what do they mean by that? That's when we think evil. I'm more spiritual than that. I didn't tell her that I did it, but I did it too. And the same day, something happened. I wonder what they meant by that. Well, they meant this, but they said this, but I think they really meant that. That's thinking evil. Charity thinketh no evil. Well, I'm sure they didn't mean that. Well, I didn't even notice that they said that. That's what charity does. when we're living in the kingdom of hate, we're always wondering, what did they really mean by that? I could read by their body language, or I could sense that they had... No, I've got a lack of love, is why I'm thinking that. Boy, I don't know about you, but this is one... I used to say that the book of James is the most convicting book of the Bible. The more I get in the book of John, the more I realize, man, that's the most convicting books of the Bible. I never thought of it that way until I've been studying, especially in chapter number 3. And my life verse comes from the first 3 verses of chapter number 3, but I've never noticed how convicting this book can be, especially this chapter. Until we really dig into it and study it out. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet, if you will, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning.